the wind shifted, and she had to lean out of the column of smoke, move her weak foot off the chair, and then rise. She hobbled away from the ring of fire, coughing and squinting, and saw someone waving from across the highway, so she lifted an arm and waved back briefly. She wished she was up in the mountains of Virginia with the others, far from the trailers and the fences and the huts patrolling. She limped slowly outside the fence into a fringe of trees. She wanted to be clear of the lights of the road and the camp, of the fluorescent seep of the Walmart parking lot. It was impossible to walk far on the weak ankle, but she wanted to see the sky straight above her, to make out the stars, and guess how many eons away they were, how deep and far in time. The give of soil and pine needles beneath her feet was a relief from the parking lot.
"I brought this for you," said a man behind her, and she shrieked, jumping as she turned. But it was Webster, smiling and apologetic, holding up a frayed lawn chair.
"Sorry."
"No, I'm just—"
"Of course you're nervous. I'm really sorry. After what happened to you, I shouldn't have surprised you like that. Anyways, I thought you might want to rest."
He bent over and set down the chair carefully in the humus and dead leaves, grinding the aluminum legs into the ground for stability.
"I heard your divorce came through."
She sat down in the chair as he shuffled around to stand in front of her.
"Oh, yeah," he said softly. "She was a nice lady. I mean, she is."
"Are you sorry?"
"You know, she found another guy she liked better," said Webster, and shrugged.
"People choose."
She looked up at him, but could not see his face well in the dark. The trees barely swayed above them.
"Anyways, I'll be getting back," he said. "You can just leave the chair here when you're done. I'll pick it up in the morning."
"Thank you," she said again, and did not watch as he walked past her and out of the trees again.